You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Next Sunday, Michigan's Democrats will be gathering in Detroit for their 2018 state endorsement convention. They'll be endorsing a candidate for attorney general, one for secretary of state, and candidates for the state Supreme Court. And it seemed like a good time to check back in with the Democratic candidates for Michigan's governor, what with the primary less than 4 months away. And today we begin with Bill Cobbs, formerly the global vice president for Xerox. And it is a pleasure to welcome you back to Stateside,
Bill.
Thank
you, Cindy. I appreciate it.
Let's plunge right into some of the big headline issues for Michigan and for the country. And we'll start with guns. What do you feel you would do to make Michigan schools safer in the face of mass shootings?
Well, clearly, you know, we've got to step back and realize that the Second Amendment does not mean that there is no regulation. And we've got to really be focused on responsible gun ownership. And I think it's time that we take a very close look at the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction.
These assault weapons.
Assault weapons. Yeah. And really ask ourselves, do we want those kind of weapons in the hands of ordinary citizens? They were never meant to be off the battlefield. And clearly, we've seen time after time after time where they've been used in these kind of incidents, like what happened in Parkland. And, you know, we can't continue to march down the same path and see the same results and not realize that we need to do something different.
And how do you sell that message to people who fear that any kind of action is infringing on their Second Amendment rights?
Well, you know, as an individual that went to law school, I can tell you that this notion that we have that the Constitution is a static document never meant to change with time is long past rethinking. We have to realize that when the Founding Fathers created the Constitution and the Second Amendment, they never envisioned a time when we would have the kind of firepower that we have today. And I don't think that if any of them were alive today, that they would be supporting these kind of weapons in ordinary citizens' hands.
Let's go over to water. What are your thoughts on the Nestle permit?
I think it's a travesty. I think when you have 80,000 Michigan citizens saying no and less than 20 saying yes, that it's time for the government, it's time for MDEQ to recognize that they're there to serve the people of the state, not private business and not big individuals who want to use our public resources to fill their pockets. And that's what Nestle is all about. You know, we're living in a world today where water every single day becomes a more precious resource. And to allow anyone to come into the state of Michigan with the biggest straw they can find and stick it in the ground and say, you know, have at it, while we have citizens in Flint who are still afraid to use their water, we have folks in Detroit who are getting shut off because they can't afford to pay a water bill. They got to make a decision about paying a rent or paying for the water. We need to rethink our approach to how we deal with this resource in the state.
Governor Snyder's spokesperson told us the law says that decision to let Nestle extract more water at a cost of that $200 a year permit is the DEQ's, and he will not be getting involved. Do you agree with that?
Well, clearly, the governor and I have a different perspective. You know, I respect the first line of the Michigan Constitution that says that all political power is inherent in the people, that government is for their equal benefit, security, and protection. Now, clearly, some people in Lansing don't understand that, and it's time that we either give them a very, very long vacation or we change our Constitution. I'm in favor of giving them a vacation.
Let's shift over to schools. Recent study showed that Michigan third grade reading scores were abysmal. They are just about dead last of the 50 states. What would you do to improve Michigan schools?
So I have said that until we are prepared to fund our schools properly, we are kidding ourselves if we say that we're serious about doing anything that's going to impact the school-to-prison pipeline. I am proposing equalized state funding. It's time to move away from Proposal A and provide for equalized funding for every kid in the state. We're underfunding public education in Michigan by thousands of dollars. The number that we really need to get to is about $11,500 per student. That's reasonable to me. We live in a state where we're paying $41,000 a year to keep people incarcerated. We got to really think about how we're spending our money and what the end result is that we're shooting for. We can do much better. And education has always been the only gateway in this country to social and economic mobility. If we're not serious about making sure that all of our young people have an equal opportunity for a good education, then we're kidding ourselves about being the country we say we are.
So that target, $11,500 per student, is what you see.
Yeah.
Where do you see charter schools in this vision? Are they providing a viable option for families, as supporters argue, or are they draining students and dollars from public schools?
So here's my take on this. There are people in this race who have said that they would outlaw charter schools. I don't know how you do that. But I can tell you that as the next governor of the state, my intent is to defund them so that they're not eligible for public dollars, because taxpayers never intended that their money would be used to support private enterprise. You know, one of the challenges that we have is creating this notion that it's better to set up a different school environment than to work on the ones that we have and make them better. You know, schools are really the primary anchor for every single community. When you take the school out of a community, or you disadvantage to the point where it has to close, you literally begin the erosion of the fabric of that community. It's the beginning of blight. And once blight starts, you start to have houses that are vacant. We can do so much better. Right now, we have an state educational budget of about $12.2 billion. Over $1 billion of that now is going into private charters' pockets. Just imagine what we could accomplish if we redirected that money back into our public school system.
If you've just joined us, I'm speaking with Bill Cobbs, Democratic candidate for governor, exploring a lot of issues facing Michigan. Roads and infrastructure, certainly one of the big challenges we're facing in this state, the condition of them, and finding enough money to fix what needs fixing. What ideas are shaping up in your mind to meet this problem?
So I have had a fully formed infrastructure plan from the day I entered this race, and it's a radical plan. It involves us investing $60 billion in infrastructure. We would do that by floating a 30-year municipal bond. We need to make massive investments in our infrastructure and start from one side of the state and go to the other. We can't continue down this path and not appreciate the impact we're going to have on the quality of life for every single citizen in the state. And if we're really, really serious about being attractive to more business, we've got to have an infrastructure model that supports that. Nobody's going to come to Michigan and build facilities to manufacture a product or to deliver a product if we don't have good infrastructure to support their getting those products to market. It's just common sense. We have tons of work to do. We have a situation right now where we're of the belief that we can fix this problem by patching it every year, and patching doesn't work. I had the opportunity in my career to spend some time in Denmark, a country that has far worse weather conditions than Michigan has, and they had roads that lasted for 25 plus years. We can do that here if we're willing to make the right investments.
It is looking, Bill, more and more likely that whomever is elected as Michigan's next governor is going to be presiding over economic downturn. Some economists even predict recession. What are your thoughts as to how you'd handle that?
So there's no question that by the time we reach the fourth quarter of next year, whatever is happening in the business world, Michigan will be facing a fiscal crisis because of the way that we've used our resources. We've kind of put ourselves in a hole by giving out massive amounts of corporate welfare and not understanding that the return that we're saying we're going to get is a guess. There's no guarantee. And so we're going to have to make some adjustments. Now, as the next governor of the state, I've vowed that we're not going to cut services to citizens. What we need to do is to really put together a 21st century tax policy, a tax policy that looks at where the resources are and makes sure that everybody's paying their fair share. Doesn't make sense in Michigan that we have citizens who make $20,000 a year paying the same tax rate as folks who make millions of dollars. So I've said that one of the things that I would like to do as the next governor of the state is preside over a constitutional convention that would allow us to modify our state constitution and go from a fixed tax rate to a progressive tax rate. That tax rate would start with the 4.25. People who have a household income of less than $200,000 would still pay 4.25. If you got a household income greater than that, you would pay more. We would have a top nominal tax rate of 10%. To be paying 10%, you would have to earn more than $600,000. I think that's fair. We also need to make sure that our corporations are really paying their fair share. We have a corporate tax rate in Michigan of 6%. But if you can find five corporations that actually pay 6%, I invite you to let us know because we'll take you to dinner wherever you'd like to go. You know, we've got to make sure that we close those loopholes that allow them to escape paying their fair share and have the opportunity to really fundamentally move Michigan forward by investing in all of the things that make us a great state.
Candidates have to turn in at least 15,000 valid signatures by April 24th to get on the ballot. Are you confident you'll hit that?
I'm pretty confident that we won't have any problem. We plan on turning our signatures in on, I believe, the 23rd. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be collecting until the very last day because we want to make sure that we come as close to 30,000 signatures so that we don't have any problems with the signatures we turn in.
Now, recent polling has you below 5%. How do you plan to move that needle?
Well, I got to tell you, Cindy, I don't pay any attention to those polls because one of the things that I understand is that when you do a sampling of 600 people and you're sampling them for one response, whose name have you heard? That's not a representative sample of what's really going on with the people. And then when you put at the very end that 50% of people still don't know anybody, then this is still a very wide open race. And I think that over the next few months, we'll have a real opportunity to determine who the candidates are that really not only have a vision for moving Michigan forward, but can clearly articulate a Democratic message that enables us to beat their likely candidate, Bill Schuette, in November.
Bill Cobbs, candidate for governor from the Democratic Party in Michigan. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.